everyone. Welcome to a very special edition of The Podfather. My name is Alex.
And I'm Jordan. It's great to be back.
Oh, great to be back. We are joined by a special guest, Daniel Lamon, who you may remember from our Pulp Fiction episode 3 years ago.
That is... Is it really been three
it's
years?
Been three
do you
years. Remember that?
Oh, I do. I remember being terrified at stepping into any kind of situation saying that I don't like Pulp Fiction. But I didn't get any death threats.
It
so.
Worked well, out well.
When you said you didn't like Pulp Fiction, I think we had about 10 listeners. Now we might have three.
Yeah.
So
you're so welcome.
You can bag this movie if you want.
Unfortunately, spoilers.
Oh.
Well, we saw what you think about it on Twitter, so we might be a little bit.
Did you see what Jordan thought about it on Twitter?
No, I actually don't think I did.
Well, you have to wait.
Oh, so I get to have, like, this will be a proper discussion because I have no idea what either of you think of this film.
Speaking of which, the film today that we're reviewing or talking about is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It's in Hollywood.
The ninth film by Quentin Tarantino.
Which does not have any gangsters in it.
True. Right.
But there is a crime element. Actually, since you've been on the podcast, we broadened our horizons to include just crime movies. So we talked about capers, heists, just crime in general.
We're hoping to do westerns coming up. Or at least I'm hoping to do some westerns.
Oh, a little bit of a tidbit for the listeners.
So you're just trying to cover every genre that Tarantino's ever touched.
Well, and other great directors and writers.
But Tarantino, really.
Well, we don't want to talk about it.
You're being
too much,
the most basic male film nerds imaginable now.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But we're learning a lot by doing it.
And actually,
to be
honest,
and it's making it a lot more enjoyable, I think.
Is The Sting.
That's
on the top of our
right.
list.
Right.
Yeah. And that wouldn't have been able to be reviewed at the start of it.
No, because it's not a gangster film.
Yeah. No.
Oh, that's exciting. Look at you broadening your horizons.
Yeah. Yeah, we might do some detective thrillers maybe one day.
Does that mean you'll do Pokemon Detective Pikachu? Because that is technically a film noir detective film.
We can do any movie.
It was shot like that.
We can do anything. Did you see that?
I actually really quite loved it.
It's really bizarre that the best blockbuster film of the last blockbuster season was about Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So what? I really should see it then.
It's really lovely.
I think you'd actually enjoy it.
It's just beautifully made.
It looks good.
It's shot on film.
It wasn't.
And it looks like it's shot on a film. Because the director wanted to make it look like a film noir.
Okay.
And it looks like a film noir.
All right.
Pokemon. It's like fucking yellow rats running around.
Yeah.
I was really, really skeptical because, I mean, were you into Pokemon, Daniel?
I don't know what they are.
And I don't think you were really into Pokemon, were you, Jordan?
No, I only know
when you were youngin'. Oh, Digimon. Well,
no,
Digimon.
I don't know any of that. I don't know any of
you
that.
Filth.
It was... Growing up, I always, fantasized about what it would be like to see a Pokemon in real life. And this film actually kind of made me see that for the first time ever. So, I thought it was at least that good.
And as someone who doesn't know anything about the damn things, it was like, I was like, oh, I get it. I get why people like this. Also, it's a very inviting film. Like, it didn't make me feel... excluded as an audience member by not having all of this back history. Not the way like a Marvel film always makes me feel like I'm in.
What do you mean? You can come in at the 23rd movie of Marvel and people
can
love
you?
It.
You can't even come in the first one and understand what's going on.
No, that's true. That's true. There's one thing I wanted to ask you, Daniel, before we get started. I don't know, a couple months ago, you were on another podcast that relates to this podcast. There's a podcast.
I was on One Heat Minute. Oh, yeah.
I want you to tell Alex about it. He doesn't know anything about it.
Like, achievement of my entire, film writing, life when I got asked to be on One... Have you not heard of One Heat Minute?
No.
Oh, this podcast, this was... I actually hadn't listened to it before I was asked to be on it because I'd not seen Heat. And I was like, no, I want...
Oh, is it a minute of Heat?
Every single minute.
Oh, I love
Heat.
Those podcasts.
So it's Blake Howard. He's a film writer in Sydney. He decided, because his favourite film was Heat, and he decided he was going to go through it minute by minute and look at each minute. And obviously there's 173 or 4 minutes of it. And each episode has a different guest.
Wow.
And yeah, I got a message from him being like, hey, do you want to be a guest on One Heat Minute? And I was like, yes, but I've never seen it. So I just ran out to JB Hi-Fi the next day, bought it, watched it that night. And was like, I've watched it. Can I be on the show now?
Nice for watching it legally.
Yes, I bought it. Nice new 4K. Even though he told me not to get the new 4K remaster, I got
You're
that one anyway.
You're obsessed with 4K.
Yeah.
So am I.
It's great.
I don't like it. I'd prefer...
What? What do you mean you don't like it?
It's too clear. And then old movies, I think, look bad on 4K.
Old movies look better on 4K. Okay. Are you watching a television with motion smoothing, Jordan?
I mean, maybe. Maybe, but every television that I've ever watched 4K on.
I'll send you the Roma viewing specifications for TVs.
Yeah,
it helps. I've never seen Roma, but I use the specifications.
Okay, yeah. All
right,
that's fair.
Oh, yeah, because old films look gorgeous in like a proper UHD 4K. Okay. Anyway, I could talk about that for hours, and we wouldn't talk about the film at all. But yeah, I got to... so the minute that I got was actually that I remember watching the film, and I remember thinking, that would be a great minute to talk about. And then Blake was like, this one. But like the guests that he had, he had film writers from all over the world, and it was mentioned in a lot of like lists for like one of the best podcasts in existence. And then he also started to get members as it went on, as kind of the rumors about like, you know, not rumors, like story about the podcast got out. He was starting to get like members of the crew from Heat, and I think he may have got one or two of the actors. And then the last episode, he got Michael Mann. So the last episode is him with Michael Mann talking
about... The last
about
episode of the film.
Of the podcast. So the last minute...
And it's,
it's
over now.
Yep. Is him talking to Michael.
So we can't get on this podcast?
No, we can't get on it. But you should listen to it and listen to Daniel's episode.
He spoke to Michael Mann.
Yeah. It's him, he and Michael Mann talking about the last like minute, like not the credits, but like the actual last minute of Heat.
Couple questions then. Roughly how long was each episode?
About an hour, I think. I know mine was about just under an hour.
And what was your minute?
My minute was the moment where... what's Robert De Niro's character? When it's the moment when he and Amy Brenneman are on the highway. She's just found out what he's doing. She's tried to run away, and he's explaining to her why he wants her to go with him to New Zealand. And it's that amazing, like that them standing on the road, looking out over LA. Is it LA or the ocean? I can't remember. I think it might even be I think it's the ocean actually, because it keeps the motif of the film. And it's that amazing like single shot of just the two of them where she's looking, she's in the foreground and he's in the background, and he's just talking to her. The horrible thing was the minute cut off just as he makes his like big like revelation of like, you know, I want to be with you. It cut off just beforehand. So but it was wonderful. It was like, and it was quite, it was quite exciting to just focus specifically on that one moment in a film and look at like break that apart and see what does that have to do with the language of the entire film, particularly a film that I had only just seen. So yes. I had no like, and was very much still in the, like, I think we recorded like a day or two after I watched it. So I still very much was all ticking over in my head. And it was the first proper Michael Mann experience I'd ever had.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, I think those podcasts are actually really cool.
Yeah.
It's amazing that they're so popular because it sounds like a really crazy idea.
Yeah.
But if you're a fan of that film, or like there's that one that we used to talk about that does an episode of Frasier every week. Yeah. Like there are all those kind of things. And I think it's just
Kevin
like...
Kevin Smith has a Frasier, or he did have a Frasier.
Do you know if he's still doing it?
No, they stopped it.
Oh, they didn't get through it all?
No.
It's really comforting to be able to delve into something that you love that minutely. And then I suppose, you know, for him to be able to get crew and even Michael Mann at the end, like it would... validated
it's
a lot.
It's kind of like, and it was kind of the amazing thing of looking, and I went back and listened to all the episodes leading up to my minute, because I was like, I want to hear what the discussions are about it. And
you almost want to continue it in a funny way, right?
Well, like my plan is to, when I've got the headspace, to go back and start from the beginning and listen through the whole thing. And it's funny, my favorite film podcast, Blank Check, they just did a Michael Mann mini series, and it was listening to it, you know, as they were going, and I got to the Heat episode, and I just got frustrated. It's like, why aren't you delving into it with the same level of it? Like, why are you being as pedantic?
Well, guess what? You're on the wrong podcast now. If you want deep delves.
Well, we've been sitting here for like 10 minutes, and we still haven't.
We've got one more important thing.
Have a question though.
Yes,
because I think this is a cool question. What would you do? If each of you, what would be the film you would do minute by minute? I know what mine would be. What would be the film you would do minute by minute?
It'd have to be my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
Paddington 2.
Oh, like, but wouldn't it just be every minute is just
joyful?
People sitting there being like, oh, but this is a masterpiece. Like, this is a masterpiece. Look at this moment. This is moment. This, if you break apart this moment, it just proves this is a masterpiece.
Yeah. That's what mine would be.
I just thought of this right now, obviously, because you just asked it, but I'm going to do Apocalypse Now, the final cut.
Have you seen it yet?
No, not yet.
Oh.
And it's going to be as amazingly painful as the movie is itself, and I'm going to delve into all of the Vietnam War history and all of the film history and all of the psychoanalysis, and no one's going to listen to it.
I'd listen to that.
I know you would. You obviously like Apocalypse Now.
I fucking love Apocalypse Now.
I took Jordan to see a scratchy 35mm print of the Redux at the Astor.
Oh, he fell asleep.
And he fell asleep. Jordan. So I want to force him to see the final cut.
But then my little brother tried to watch it at home, and I nearly fell asleep again. And I don't think it's because it's boring. It's because it feels like I've taken a huge hit of something that I don't know what it feels like.
Well, they're showing it at IMAX.
Oh yeah, shit.
So I'm trying to, because I work at the museum, so I'm trying to get to get there because I can.
Ooh, see, I don't know now if I want to see it at the Astor or an IMAX.
Nah, fuck, I want to see it at IMAX. I want to see it as big.
And you haven't seen it yet either.
No, not the final cut.
Oh. Do we know what the thoughts are compared with? Because, okay, as an Apocalypse Now fan, I'm a bit of a nerd in the sense that I always try and watch the longest available version of anything.
Yeah.
So I have only ever seen the Redux, but I found out over the last couple of years that actually fans don't think that's the best version to watch.
He didn't think it was the best version
so
either.
So I might be watching it wrong.
Well, he said, I am paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines of that the Redux cut was not the version he preferred because he was asked to do it and he didn't have the time. So that it was similar to Ridley Scott's Blade Runner director's cut. They wanted to get it out, so they were getting it out, and so they put all this stuff in it. And he was always like, one day I want to do a proper actual cut of it.